Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the Internet. This is your host, Allison, and I thank you for joining me this evening, and I hope that everyone is doing well. I am multitasking big time this week as I'm in New York. I'm visiting my daughter and my two grandchildren, and let me tell you, a two-year-old does not care that you have to host a radio show and that you have work to do. So I'm glad that I made it, and I'm really happy to welcome my guest this evening. Jim Harold is the creator and host of The Paranormal Podcast, a very popular Internet radio show. In fact, it's one of iTunes' top 25 science audio podcasts. Paranormal Podcast is a program that delves into every aspect of the unexplained. Interviews of guests having to do with the paranormal, UFOs, psychic, life after death, and ghost phenomena, plus so much more. And his newest creation, Jim Harold's Campfire, focuses on listeners' stories of the paranormal. And I really do encourage you to go to his website, www.jimharold.com, JimHarold.com. Check out the Paranormal Podcast and even more about Jim than I just got done talking about, because, you know, I really want to welcome him to the show. So I just want to say hi, Jim, and welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Allison. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to this hour.
Well, so am I. And I have to say, I appreciated you having me as a guest on your show. Must be a pretty darn popular show, because I have a lot of phone calls and emails.
Oh, good. Well, I'm so glad to hear that. It seems to be steadily growing.
I would guess, because I was rather busy, and once it got downloaded, I guess, and people started listening to it, boy, that's a pretty busy camper. Your website, it talks about your experience in mainstream media and also in radio. Mm-hmm. So I thought maybe take a little minute here and tell our listeners a little bit about your experience and about yourself, Jim.
Oh, okay, sure. You know, I'm in my late 30s, not going to be able to say that much longer, but I'm gonna milk it for everything it's worth until I flip over to 40. But I had
Give
gone
no
to school.
No sympathy for me, Jim. No sympathy whatsoever.
Well, I'd gone to school for broadcasting, and I actually ended up working behind the scenes on kind of the advertising business side of it, which I've always enjoyed. But I also always had this inner broadcaster, and I'd simultaneously always had a great interest in the paranormal. And a few years ago, when podcasting came on the scene, I've always been a huge fan of talk radio. I started listening to podcasts, and I said, wait a minute, I can do this. So we started up in 2005 and kind of dabbled in it for a few years, but the last year we've really gotten series with the Paranormal Podcast, and now with Jim Harold's Campfire, and the reception has been, very heartwarming and very exciting.
Yeah, you've got some serious dedicated listeners. I kind of perused your website, read some feedback, and so it just, you know, seems to me like, you've got some people that are really interested in what you do. But I was wondering, you know, you've seen the one end of it, which is traditional radio. And this is Internet radio, so to speak. What do you see as far as being the advantages or disadvantages of, something along the lines of what you do and what I do, which is Internet radio?
Well, I think it's a tremendous opportunity because in the past, and before I go into this, I'm not the first person to say this. I didn't create this theory. Actually, there's a gentleman by the name of Leo Laporte who kind of espouses it, and I think it's a perfect way of explaining it. It's called disintermediation, and basically what it is, let's say 15 years ago, I wanted to do a radio show on the paranormal. Well, I would have to go from town to town and find a radio station owner who would give me permission, and then I'd either have to pay them for like some off time, or they would have to hire me, and it would only get in a small geographic area. Even the biggest stations, you know, might be able at nighttime to hit maybe a third of the country. Well, now what's so exciting, Allison, with what you do and with what I'm doing, is the fact that, you know, if you have something to say and you've got a unique way of saying it or people like it, you can reach the whole world. And I think it's nothing but good. I think it gives an opportunity to let a million flowers bloom, and I just see it as a fantastic thing, not only for us, the content creators, for people like your listeners who are interested in the paranormal, because, you know, up until recently, before the Internet, there had only been a very few outlets like Art Bell, God bless him, you know, and some TV specials and some books. But with the Internet, the explosion of information has been so exciting. So I just think it's all very positive.
Well, there's just about nothing that you can't look up on the Internet.
No, that's true. And you know, sometimes we hear things about the Internet, oh, it's bad because of things going on. You know, kids can go to bad websites and things like that. Well, the Internet is just like a book. A book can be used for good or a book can be used for evil. But I think all in all, it's really just, it's been a great thing for all of us.
Well, I'm not necessarily going, you know, hanging on to my 30s. I'm more along the lines of 55 and heading on down that highway. But, you know, coming from where I came from, which I can remember being a kid, and, you know, my prized possession was a transistor radio, for God's sakes. And, and I know when the computer was first brought into my house, I was just really upset because it didn't go with my decor. I was like, what am I going to do with this monstrosity of a thing? And now, you know, they did the commercials for, you know, Information Highway, and you didn't quite understand exactly what that was. But now when you see it in action, the amount of information, and also people being able to talk to each other, to interact with each other, to, you know, find people of, you know, like minds, like interests, I think that's one of the fantastic things about the Internet, is it just makes you feel like, you know, you can explore all the things you've ever wanted to explore, because there certainly is the information and there's places to go and websites to visit, and, you know, and it helps to keep your mind open and that knowledge flowing in. I love it. I love it.
And an example with my show, the thing that continually fascinates me is getting feedback and emails and tweets or Facebook messages from people across the world. You know, it's very common, and I'm sure you experience the same thing, Allison. You know, you get messages from people in Germany or Ireland, or I have one person said, oh, I love to listen to your show when I'm taking my dog for a walk. Oh, by the way, I'm from China. You know, I mean, just the world, it's opened up the world where we can have this communication across barriers.
Right. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. I have another question here, though. You know, having been on both sides of, you know, the radio, in your educated opinion, you know, if I was to say to you, what are the key elements to a really good radio show?
I think that you have to have a compelling topic. I think you can't make it too much. The feedback that I get on my show, we really stick to the topic. What I believe in the topic or not believe is not really as important as the topic itself. For those who haven't heard the Paranormal Podcast, for example, I bring on somebody, an expert in an area like Allison, and we talk for 30 to 45 minutes about the subject, and it's really focused on their beliefs, that is the guest, their theories, what they believe. So to me, you have to have content. You know, unless you're a great comedic mind or you can just vamp, there has to be there was a great classic star by the name of Gene Shepard who did Christmas Story, who was a fantastic talk radio guy who could sit in a studio and do it himself. That's very rare. So what I think you have to have is a compelling topic that people are interested in and be able to get the information out in a way. And what we do is a little bit different, Allison, than what traditional media does. Traditional media tries to be all things to all people. And that's a very different skill set than honing in on one subject like you do and say, hey, if somebody's interested in numerology, Allison's show is the program to listen to. What we need to do when you're covering a niche like paranormal is really dig into that and bring out the facts, and that's what we try to do on the Paranormal Podcast.
Right. Well, I always say, sometimes I sit there and I say, what have I gotten myself into? Because whenever you know, I do an interview. You know, if a person wrote a book, like, I read the book, and, you know, I research, and I, you know, I try to make sure that I know what the topic is so that I can ask intelligent questions.
Right.
Or someone like yourself, you know, I check out your website to see what I can learn about you. You know, think about how I can shine a light upon your work, which, by the way, it's a fantastic show. I mean, just
based on
just the good entertainment value of it, you have a really wonderful way of interviewing people. It's just a great show. You know, but I do a lot of research, and then I always worry because, you know, sometimes to me my voice sounds a little bit like, you know, too, I don't know, Pollyanna. You know, and sometimes a really great voice. I hear people with great voices, and I'm like, gosh, I wish I had one of those, you know?
No, I think people tune in for the information content. When you can bring people, for example, the reason that our show, I think, is fairly popular is the fact that we try to bring, I'm not the expert. The people that I bring on are the experts, and we try to bring that information out. And what you do, you know, you're certainly an expert in numerology. So I think that people aren't as worried about having that great broadcast. And by the way, your voice is fine. But but I don't think people are worried as much about that broadcast voice as they want the information. And that's what people like you can impart and people like hopefully the guests I have on my show can impart.
Right. Well, I do try. But like I say, sometimes on a Monday night, I'm like, God, I wish I could put my feet up and eat some M&Ms and watch some
TV. I've had those evenings. But the funny thing is, it's a showbiz thing, is that when the light goes on and when you're recording, something kicks in, that extra adrenaline. I do most of my shows in the evening after, you know, a long day at work, my day job, and I try to maintain professionalism. But something happens when, you know, I say, welcome to the Paranormal Podcast, I'm Jim Harold. Something switches. And I'm sure the same thing happens for you. You're energized because there's a little bit of showbiz to it as well.
Right. Well, you record all your shows, and
yeah,
for
podcasting
me,
is not live streaming. Basically, if you're listening to this show and you don't know what a podcast is basically, for lack of a better term, a recorded internet radio show, which you can go and listen. You can go to jimharold.com, JimHarold.com, and click and listen to any of my 90 plus shows for free, or if you have something like an iPod or iTunes, you can sign up, or Zune, you can sign up where it's automatically pushed down to your device, to your MP3 player, and you can listen to it whenever you want. So for me, that has been a great thing. I've enjoyed that. But I also very much, I think live streaming is very cool, too, and something I'm going to look into eventually.
Yeah, well, you got to be on for live streaming, and, of course, stuff happens, you know, on
live
streaming, so it's always like...
Well, one thing I try to do with my show is I try to, and you'll know, Allison, pretty much, I try to tape it as though it's live. I don't really do a lot of editing because I think there's a lot of spontaneity there.
Yeah.
So we just try to go through and do it like it's live because I think, you know, people like the unvarnished back and forth.
Right, right. I know myself, like sometimes people want to order numerology readings and they would like for me to record them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting there, and I got the recorder in front of me, and I know what I got to say. But if I have to record it, I'm worried about perfectionism.
Right.
So if I don't say something quite the way I think I should have said it, then I turn it off and start it over and turn it off, start it over. And I know on a couple occasions I recorded my show rather because I couldn't do the live show, and the same thing happened. I think I'm much better live because, you know, once you said it, once it's out of your mouth, you can't take it back and you can't worry about fixing
that's
it.
That's
right. So, you know, it's better to go live and just be spontaneous. So that's the way I
right.
do it.
And now I think people want to know, you know, with our show, they want to know about UFOs. They want to know about ghosts. They want to know about numerology. They want to know these authors and experts. You know, if I smack my lips before I say a question, you know, well, that may not be perfect broadcasting technique, but that's not why people listen. People listen to get the information.
Right, right. Well, let me ask you something. Your website says that you state that you've had a lifelong interest in the paranormal. So I was wondering, do you consider yourself to be a skeptic or a believer?
Well, a combination of both. I would say I am a skeptical believer. My personal theory of the paranormal is this. Let's say the whole continuum of the paranormal is from 1 to 100. And in I would say maybe 95% of it is one of several things. Somebody who is well-meaning but mistaken. Unfortunately, there's some hoaxes out there. maybe some people have some issues, you know, mentally. But that leaves, in my mind, a small percentage that is totally real, totally inexplicable, and is something. Now, what it is and which ones are real and which ones aren't, I don't know. But I don't believe 100% of what passes for paranormal activity is somebody's imagination or somebody putting on a hoax. And let's just say, for sake of argument, it's 1%. How many reported cases or non-reported cases are there of paranormal activity? If it's just 1% that's real, that's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of cases. My belief is that when I talk to the skeptics on any one thing, they're probably right. There probably is an explanation, but not for every single one. So I do believe, and I've experienced some things myself. Nothing as dramatic as maybe other people have, but I know family members who have, and they're not people who would make something up, and they're not crazy. And I just do believe, but I am, you know, I'm somewhat skeptical about individual claims. But on the show, I really try my best not to let my personal feelings come through, because, again, the show's not about me. It's about the author or expert I am interviewing.
Sure. Well, I think a healthy dose of skepticism is really important. I don't think you should just believe everything that you're told. I mean, even as a numerologist, as strange as that sounds, you know, one of the reasons why I found it so easy to embrace numerology was because I was a skeptic and because it continually proved itself to me over and over and over and over. Almost, you know, it's like if you were to do the data and just collect the data and how the numbers and what they're saying and how this actually happens in people's life. I mean, it's more than you know, something that just is a coincidence. And
right.
I think it's because of being a skeptic that helped me. Because in a way, you know, numerology is a little bit scientific, so that's kind of like embracing something that makes sense to me.
Sure.
I think from personal experiences, like yourself, you know, I believe in so much of the other because, I've had personal experiences, which, you know, thank God for the Internet. Thank God for the information that's out there, because I think a lot of us would think that we're nuts if we weren't able to, you know, have somebody explain what that was or what it could have been or something along those lines. You know, but having had the experiences, that keeps me open. But it doesn't mean that I, you know, necessarily believe everything that I hear. So I'm kind of a little bit like you, in a
mm-hmm.
way.
And I'm looking forward to, in a couple of weeks here, we're going to have, and his name escapes me, so I don't even want to try to get it wrong. But we have a gentleman who is a stage psychic who says that all paranormal psychic claims are, well, for lack of a better term, BS. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that, but I am really looking forward to that show, because I always say on the show we want to be open-minded and listen to all viewpoints, and I want to hear his. I probably at the end of the day will not agree with it, but I'm very excited to have him on to get what his viewpoint is, because when I look at
why
it
not?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that I know people who I believe have seen things, and they believe they've seen things, and I'm pretty sure they're not crazy or lying to me. And, I mean, if you look at things like UFOs, if you look at military pilots or military personnel who have said something and said, well, I know what a fixed-wing aircraft looks like. I know what a spy plane looks like, or different things. And that wasn't any of these things. You know, those kind of things, I give those credence. I don't think those are so easily explained away. So I think there's something out there. What it is, we don't know. That's why it's so fun exploring it.
Yeah, it is fun. It's fun to keep your – I think it's a fool that thinks that he knows everything, that he's learned everything there is to know in life, and there's nothing
exactly.
to learn.
An example,
you know,
and something I've used in other interviews. You know, just because 50 years ago we didn't understand DNA, didn't mean it didn't exist. We just didn't have the scientific capability to understand it.
Sure.
So my point is that many of these things that are, quote, paranormal, are they scientifically explicable? It's just not with our current science.
Right. And I think that, you know, a lot of the, and perhaps some of the people that eventually you'll get to interview, is they absolutely are beginning to be able to confirm a lot of what we have called spiritual philosophy. They're being able to confirm it scientifically. One of the things, like, for instance, of doing an experiment, and if somebody is watching the experiment, it actually affects the outcome.
Yeah,
so that
your cat, yeah,
feed into
exactly.
Thoughts become things, you know, and so I think that there will be an explosion, especially with quantum physics and whatnot, with an ability to validate a lot of what spiritual philosophy has been saying. And, of course, spiritual philosophy, to me, encompasses UFOs, psychics, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of is all-encompassing of all of that. So, you know, I'm kind of excited about when that sort of thing comes around. I think it's sooner than later, quite frankly.
Yeah, I would love to see a meeting in the middle where maybe the true believers could be a little more skeptical, and the
mm-hmm.
skeptics could be a little more open-minded. We could meet it in the middle and find out what's really going on.
Sure. Well, you know, I know I've interviewed some extraordinary mediums on my show. I mean, so I like to bring on, you know, I do numerology readings. I teach numerology on my show, but I like to bring on mediums and psychics and that sort of thing. And I've really not only interviewed them, but I've also worked side by side with mediums and psychics, and I've seen some the real deal. I've seen some that you know, left my mouth on the floor. So, you know, I believe that is absolutely possible. And
mm-hmm.
even myself, you know, psychic, for God's sakes, you know, it's like, you know, on a daily basis, you know, I kind of amaze myself with you know, the psychics that have come through. It's like, how did I know that? Yeah, you know why you know that, Allison. You know, and there's just something that if you can experience it, and then therefore, you know, it certainly exists in other people. And so, you know, it's all part of your own experience. I want to get back to the paranormal podcast for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that since you began it in 2005, has it evolved?
Well, I think the general format has changed, has stayed the same. I think that we've tried to, over time, try to surround it with a richer website. I think that hopefully I've improved a little bit over the years. We've tried to, and I want to do more of this, is bring people from all different areas, not just ghosts, not just UFOs, but that's why I was so glad to have somebody like you on the show, a numerologist. I want to kind of try to hit every area and not just do the typical ghost and UFO show.
Sure.
The other thing that we've done, a couple different things, is, of course, we've updated the website now. You know, there's commenting ability. I actually have created a social community, which has just
mm-hmm.
started in the last month or so, and that is for, it's kind of like, think of it as almost like a little mini Facebook for people interested in the paranormal. You can go to jimherald.com and click on Paranormal Place. Join that, and you can share your videos and your photos and your stories, and there's forums. So we tried to make it more interactive. One thing that's changed is there have been so many more ways to interact with the audience. You know, basically when I first started, there was email. Now I'm on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Facebook. I'm on MySpace. We have Paranormal Place. So there's a lot of different ways to interact. And the other thing we've done is we have started another show, a sister podcast called Jim Harold's Campfire, where folks
mm-hmm.
can actually submit their own stories, and I basically
mm-hmm.
call them up and have a discussion like you and I are having tonight, and they
sure.
share their stories with our audience of strange things that happened to them.
Right. Yeah, and I got some questions on that, so just don't get too far ahead of me, okay?
Okay. I'll do my best.
Okay. Yeah, it's like I'm like sitting here with my questions, and I'm like checking them off. Yeah, he answered that. Yep, all right, he's ahead of me. No, just kidding. Okay, so what were some of your most, all right, let's say somebody that impressed you. Let's say you were a little skeptical or weren't quite sure, but by the time you got done interviewing somebody, you went, you know, this
well,
is a
Well, I think you did a great, I think you certainly did a great job on the show. Probably the most striking example of something happening on the show that I couldn't explain was we had a psychic by the name of Carol Obley on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know Carol or not, but she did, and I think somehow we connected on the internet. And I had her do a reading for my wife on air, but I did not tell her that it was my wife.
Sure.
And and we basically did it live to tape. And the thing that she did was she told my wife that there had been a friend that she had lost very young. That this person's name was Bob or Robert, I'm doing this from memory, and that he had died traumatically,
mm-hmm.
and that he said hello, and there were some other details in there, somebody she was very close to, which she was. This was a high school friend who died, you know, in his mid-20s. And she nailed that, pardon the pun, dead on. And there was no way, I mean, my wife had no communication with her. I had no communication with her. I mean, yeah, Bob and Robert is a common name, but she just could have easily said Joe or John, you know.
Sure.
And to just hit that so dead on. And everything she said, and I know people talk about, well, psychics do cold readings and they feel a person out and they take little tidbits of information. But there was nothing at all in this part of it that had anything, even remotely, that would be feeding her any information. And I was, you know, I was trying to reading it very skeptically, and that fascinated me. So, I mean, in terms of something odd happening on the show or something where I said, wow, when your mouth hits the floor, that was one for me.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. But I got to say, back to me, score, if I impressed you, good for me.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Okay. So tell me, there's so many different aspects of paranormal. What is there anything in particular you're most interested in?
I think I've, you know, this probably goes back to my childhood. I've always been interested in two areas primarily, even though I said I just don't want to be UFOs and ghosts. I think, to me, probably the greatest mystery, and I think most people, if you put it, strip it down, you say, what's the thing you want to know most? Probably most would want to know what happens after I die, or it's got to be up there. And anything with the afterlife I find absolutely fascinating, and I think it's the great unanswered questions, what happens after we die, and that plays into, you know, is there a God, is there not a God, so forth, what is the nature of God, and so forth. So that plays into a lot of things. And the other is the old classic UFOs, you know, what's going on. You know, the thing is that with a lot of these cases, for example, Roswell, you know, you would think that Roswell has been done to death, but I've had an opportunity to speak to Jesse Marcel Jr., the son of the gentleman who was the first military officer to find the wreckage. I've had him on the show, and I just recently did a show on Witness to Roswell, where a couple of researchers have done this exhaustive academic-type book with references, and it's chock-full of information. And, you know, it just keeps coming back to those mysteries. You know, is there somebody out there? Is it military craft? Are there aliens? I mean, I think that's one of the great mysteries, too. So probably those two. Afterlife, of course, plays into ghosts and all of that. But I think those are my probably top two.
Right. You know, I was rather fascinated because, you know, where I live in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, let me tell you. There's not a whole lot of talk about paranormal going on there. It's a very traditional, very conservative area. And, you know, I walk my dogs during the day, and there's a couple of neighbors out, and they invited me over, and we were chit-chatting, and I have no idea how we got on the subject of UFOs. But I'm sitting there with two, I would say, one is a preacher. He was, literally his whole entire life was, you know, church, and the other lady's a historian. Very upstanding members of the community, and they both had a UFO experience. Well, actually, there were three of them, because the woman was with the man, and the other woman was by herself. And I said, really? So, of course, I sat down, because I wanted to hear all about this, and honest to God, both of them. And they went on and on with such details about what they had seen, and of course, I've never seen a UFO, so, you know. But I was just really kind of amazed. Who would have thunk it? Who would have figured, you know, you run into three people on the street and, you know, they've had this experience and how many more are there, you know, out there?
And I think that's really key what you said there. There are two people who are just kind of normal, everyday people, and I'm going to include myself in this, so there's no offense here, Allison, but let's say that I see a UFO or you see a UFO. I could see where somebody would put a little less credence into it because they might say, oh, they're heavy into that stuff.
Sure.
So I can kind of understand that. But you take, in your case, a reverend, or in my case, you know, my parents who saw something who are the most, you know, they don't have crystals under their bed, I'll tell you that. you know, and you see people like that, kind of everyday people who don't talk about the paranormal, aren't particularly interested in the paranormal, who say, man, I saw something. And I'm talking about people who are, you know, otherwise upright, upstanding citizens who have their wits about them. They're well-known members of the community, and they have these experiences. Now,
especially
I can see the skeptics say, well, they believe in everything, but not these people. And,
right.
and some of the experiences are so unique. It's not, you know, Venus in retrograde or something, you know.
Right. Well,
it's
in
more,
the area
you know?
Where I live, when they would rather die than tell you that there's a UFO, they saw a UFO, because it's just
right.
not an acceptable topic of conversation. So I was rather amazed that we were all sitting around talking about it.
And I do think that's changing. I mean, I think that people are more and more interested in this, and sometimes when I'll tell somebody in a business setting or something that I do this, kind of what's turning into now more hobby, I think it might actually at some point become a career.
I think career, yeah.
I hope. but the thing is that they'll pull me aside and say, hey, you know, I'm kind of interested in that stuff, kind of hushed tone. But maybe they wouldn't have even said that 10, 15, 20 years ago. So I think it's becoming more out there with all the, and this could be a mixed curse, but with the TV programs and everything, or a mixed mm-hmm. blessing, I should say. But I think people are more willing to talk about, and I think everybody, almost everybody has one paranormal story in
sure.
them, whether it happened to them or someone they know and trust. I think almost everybody, it's almost universal.
Right. And you yourself briefly touched upon that you've had your own paranormal experience, and I'm assuming this had to do with visitation, a dream or something, having to do with a passed-on loved one?
Well,
there
are two things. I mean, there are things that have happened to loved ones. The one thing that happened to me, and there's a word for this, I can't remember what it's after-death communication, but it's a certain type, and I can't remember. We had Judy Guggenheim, who co-authored the famous book Hello from Heaven, and she told me what kind it was, but it escapes me. But anyway, about 10 years ago, my brother passed away. And he was in his late 20s at that time, and he'd had a pretty tough life. He was born autistic. And this is going to sound off the wall, but he was a big fan of Lawrence Welk. If your listeners out there, some of the ones that are our age and older, remember Lawrence Welk, the band leader. But my brother loved Lawrence Welk, so he would watch it, you know, from a little kid all the way up as it was into reruns. So anyway, we were coming back from his funeral. He had passed away, and we were in this rural area, and there weren't many radio stations, and there was one of these Music of Your Life radio stations, you know, that play Sinatra and big bands and that kind of music. And there's this song that comes on. It's an instrumental, and I'm like, boy, that sounds familiar, that band. I wonder who that is. And all of a sudden, the announcer comes on. Well, of course, that was the big hit from 1960 for Lawrence Welk. And the thing is that how many times do you hear Lawrence Welk on the radio? And to me, that was my brother through that radio signal telling me, don't worry about me, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the fact that we happen to be driving through that area where that station happened to be and we happened to turn it on at that time, a lot of coincidences, could have been a coincidence, but I don't remember hearing Lawrence Welk on the radio before or since.
Yeah, that's quite amazing, actually.
I had an experience. My wife, when my mother-in-law passed away, we knew she was dying, but we thought she had several days left. We'd come home and gone to bed after leaving her at her home, and my wife woke up and saw a vision of the Virgin Mary mm-hmm. over my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see it, but she saw it. And that, you know, the Virgin Mary had special significance to my mother-in-law, who's Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
mm-hmm.
that was her thing, was a Virgin Mary. And then not, I think, 30, 40 minutes later, we got the call that she had passed away.
Mm.
So, I mean, things like that, you know, I don't think my wife was lying to me. And I know I heard Lawrence Welk.
Yeah,
and there's just so many stories from that, from what I consider to be credible people, that there's something going on out there. What it is, I don't have the answers. That's why we do the show, to try to find some of them out.
Yeah. So let me just ask you this. You know, you've got this Jim Harold campfire, which is kind of along those lines of giving your listeners an opportunity to tell their stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering what the best campfire story to date has been.
Oh, that's tough. Well, actually, one that we did on, and again, we've only done a few episodes of this. In fact, I'm taping another one tomorrow night, so I invite people to go to jimharold.com and check it out. Probably the one that was the most unique, I won't say it was the best, but the most unique,
mm-hmm.
a gentleman was undergoing treatment for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And as part of his therapy, he would periodically go to the movies with his wife. And I can't remember the movie. I can't remember the movie, but he was basically going to go with his wife to this movie. Mm-hmm. And they went in the theater. It was like 1 o'clock when they went in the theater. And they went in, and the end of the movie was playing, and they didn't understand what happened. So they thought they were in the wrong theater, and they went out, and they basically, when the movie was over, they asked the guy, hey, did this movie just start? He said, no, it's been here for 2 hours. And he said, what time did it start? It started at 1 o'clock. So he had 2 hours of missing time.
Oh, wow.
And they still haven't figured out what it was. He had missing time. And then he had a corollary story, and I may not get this exactly right, but basically, I'm trying to remember what this was now. He had a video that he thought was late. He had taken it out. The person had checked it out, and everything that was supposed to be done was done. This was a few years ago, you know, when video rentals were more popular than they are now. They're starting to fade off. And he brought it in. He turned it in, and they said he never checked the movie out. But the person, I believe the person who he checked it back with had been the one that checked it out. And they know that they'd done everything they were supposed to do, but it never showed up in the system. So a couple of weird occurrences. But the movie occurrence, the missing time, not to be able to figure out what happened with 2 hours of missing time, and two people experienced it. And and they verified it wasn't, my thought was, well when they were shown on multiple screens, he went in the wrong theater. No, he checked that.
Right.
They did end up seeing the movie, by the way.
Well, good. I'm glad. I think one of the, in my experiences, you know, doing what I do for so many years, you know, and I've counseled a lot of people by trying to help them understand, you know, loss of loved ones. Sometimes the numerology is very helpful in giving them purpose and what, you know, how to carry on and that sort of thing. And I know there's this one woman who lost her son. He was quite young. He was 17 or 18 or somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, and certainly any mother shouldn't have to experience losing their child.
No.
But her husband, after he passed, her husband, he had a bicycle. And, you know, they had these lights, and I guess they're lights that are attached to the bicycle, and when you actually ride the bike, it charges them, and they blink.
Right.
Well, I guess, her husband, the lights kept blinking on and off. They hung the bike up in the garage, but I guess the lights kept blinking on and off. And the wife was rather upset because she didn't get to see it. Every time she, by the time she got out there, they had stopped blinking.
Oh, my.
So she was really upset about that. And so finally the lights came on, and the husband said, well, by God. So he went and he took the lights off the bike, and he brought them into the house, and they still remained on. And they remained on for 30 days.
Wow.
They actually wrote the company and said, because the only way to charge these lights is by actually riding the bike. So they called the company and they asked for the explanation for the blinking lights. What you know, if it wasn't ridden, is it possible? And they said, no, it's absolutely not possible. And yet these lights remained on for 30 days. And see, she was very upset because she didn't get to see them. Well, they came on and she got to see them for 30 days. So I think that was something that was one of the more extraordinary stories that I heard.
Absolutely. That would make a great campfire story. I mean, the thing that I love is that I'll talk to somebody in New England, and they will have a story. It's like, oh, gee, I don't know if anybody else has ever experienced it. And then I'll talk to somebody in Germany, and they'll have a story with very similar themes. So I just think it's fascinating that, and the thing that I like about this show, and I wish I had thought this deeply when we started it, but I didn't really think of it this way, but I do now, mm-hmm. is that what it does is it gives people an opportunity to contribute and to hear stories from other people who have experienced something. And I don't mean this in a clinical way. We don't pretend to be psychologists, but I think it's kind of like a support group because, you know, there's other people experiencing things. So I'm not crazy. I know what I saw. And here's my story. So I think that it's very valuable in that way, in a way that I really didn't think too much about when we started it. But now that we get into it, I've talked to people and say, you know, it's so good to tell this story because I was afraid to tell it. I thought people would think I'm crazy, you know, or not believe me. And I think that it's actually turned out to be a little more than we originally thought.
Well, that's really wonderful. And I do want to talk to my listeners out there that, you know, some of you may, yourself have a story that you might like to share with Jim. Now, Jim, if somebody was out there and let's say they wanted to contact you and maybe share their story with you, tell them how they can do that.
Sure, I'd be glad to. The site is jimherold.com. I'll spell that one more time, and sorry to belabor it, but sometimes people may misspell it. It's J-I-M, like Mary, H-A-R-O-L-D.com. And for the Campfire Show, you can just go at the top of the page, you know, it'll say about us, shop, different things. And one of them is Campfire Submissions. You just click on that, and it'll take you to a little form, and we don't share the info with anybody. And you can select the show that you want to be on and tell us a little bit about you, a little bit about your story. And you can use a pseudonym. You don't have to use your real name. And just click on it and submit, and I'll get an email, and I'll respond to you. And, you know, we're pretty good at getting most people that submit. We put them on the show, so there's a pretty good chance if you submit, you'll get on the show.
Yeah. All right, then. So if you're out there and you're listening and you've got a story to tell, you know, go to jimherold.com and put your email in, and then maybe we can listen to you on Jim's show. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'd love to hear stories from guests, because it's kind of nice getting people that maybe don't listen to my show submit their stories, so they just bring a fresh kind of perspective. You know,
sure,
sometimes
sure.
If people listen to the show, well, they feel it has to follow this format or whatever. I'd love to get stories from any of your listeners out there who want to tell their story on the show.
Yeah, and then I hope that maybe this will be a book for you, Jim. Maybe you need to write all this stuff down and be an interesting.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about either. I'd like to go a lot of different directions with this. You'd asked earlier, where have we come from? I think we've obviously expanded to a second podcast. Certainly, we've gotten
book,
we've gotten sponsors and things. But I do think you have a point there, and I have thought about a book, and I think that may at some point be in the future, some type of book.
Good.
And the other thing I'd like to start doing is maybe some speaking appearances, because people are fascinated in the paranormal and they want to tell their stories. So I'm thinking of branching out in that direction.
All right, yeah. Hold Jim Harold's campfire stories all over, you know, America, and just have people come and just share their stories. That'd be fun and talk about stuff.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
Okay, let me ask you something here.
Okay.
Do you watch the ghost hunting type TV shows?
No, and I'll tell you, other than flipping through the channels, I don't. And it's not because of any disrespect. I don't, this sounds odd, but I try not to watch or listen to a lot of other paranormal-themed shows because I don't want to accidentally copy them. But the reason I don't, but I got to say this, and this is not about one show in particular, because I don't really know enough about any of the shows out there specifically to criticize one show over the other, but a lot of paranormal shows that I see in terms of ghost hunting and things, it seems like they're people running around with cameras, screaming, they have them on night shot, and it seems like a gimmick to me. And the thing is I think what we need to do, if people who truly believe that there is something to paranormal activity want to be taken seriously, they have to treat it seriously. Doesn't mean that we can't have a little bit of fun with it. But one of my pet peeves is, for example, if you're watching one of the, like, CNN, for example, they come on and they do a UFO story, but it has to have the X-Files music and, you know, the anchor with the arched eyebrow and everything, and that's a pet peeve of mine. Why can't we treat this like anything else? Why can't we treat it seriously? Why does it have to turn into a game? Not that we can't have a little fun. You know, the Roswell folks, they have fun with their event and everything. But I think sometimes some of the and not anything in particular, but some of those ghost hunting type shows sometimes turn a little bit silly for my personal taste.
Right. Well, maybe there's a little bit of pandering to the, you know, television audience, thinking that show interesting, that they've got to throw in the spook music and the, you know, that sort of stuff, make it, you know, interesting.
And that's the advantage of, you were talking before about the advantage of what we do, Allison, is that we can do the kind of show that we feel good about and feel that's meeting our vision. I mean, I hate to say this. I mean, I certainly want to be responsive to listeners, and I love putting up on Twitter saying, hey, guys, what kind of show topics do you want? And then people send them out. I love that kind of interaction, so don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I have to make a show that Jim Harold feels good about. And luckily, when you're in your position and in my position, we don't have some producer saying, well, you got to make it sexier. You gotta, you know, you gotta make it faster action. You gotta do, you know, we don't. We can do what we want, and that's part of the joy of being an independent content creator.
Right, right. That's true. That's true. I think that's one of the things sometimes, you know, I said earlier about sitting on Monday nights and thinking, why do I do this to myself? But then there's some nights when I am so excited to do a show. I did an interview on a book, Walking Through Walls by Philip Smith. I was so psyched about that book. I couldn't even stand it. And it was a wonderful interview. And I just wanted everyone to know about the book. I wanted to share the excitement and the passion that I had gotten from reading that book. I kind of felt a little bit like Oprah, Allison's book club, you know. But
right.
I was so excited to be able to choose, you know, something that I was excited about, something I wanted to share with my listeners, a really good interview and a really great book, and that was all my choice. And I didn't have to beg, plead, or anything else. It was just,
right.
You know, put it together and put the show on. So I was excited.
And then sometimes I'll be very honest. I pick an author because I'm interested. And then sometimes it's funny. I'll find myself asking the questions, and I feel that sometimes when they're talking, I become a listener. I become a listener to the show. It's just I'm in the process of creating it. But it's really kind of a fun process of creating your own show and asking the questions. And that's why one of the biggest compliments that I've ever gotten is when people say, well, he asks the questions that I would want to know. I really appreciate that. And one of the – I want to sneak this in before we go, because I know we're drawing shorter on time now. But one of my favorite compliments about the show, this is an iTunes review, I think. Somebody said it's like Art Bell meets NPR. And I thought, that's a pretty good synopsis. That's one of my favorite reviews.
I'll take that. That's pretty good. That's a nice description. That's all right. Yeah. Well, I sometimes when I get to interview people, it's a great gig. It's exciting for me because I get, you know, like I said, I get to ask questions I want to know as well. So it just kind of makes life exciting. So,
and I think it's some way, you know, what we're doing when we bring this information out, to some extent, it's a public service. I mean, I think there are a lot of people out there who maybe can't afford to buy, you can't afford to buy every book, or they, you know, they want to learn a little bit about a lot of different things. So it makes, at the end of the day, it makes me feel good that I'm helping educate somebody about something they're interested in. It may not be my personal belief, or it may be. That's not what's important. What's important is we get the information out there and let the listener decide for themselves.
Sure. That's. Do you ever down the road, you know, ever consider maybe going on a UFO investigation or, you know, haunted house investigation? You ever think about that?
I would consider that if I thought it were done the right way, like we were saying, and not gimmicky.
Scientifically.
I mean, when I talk to people like, for example, there's a gentleman who's been on our show a couple of times I have a lot of respect for, Lloyd Auerbach. For example, Stanton Friedman, who's been on our show a couple of times, what a great UFOologist. I have a lot of respect for him. So if you're talking about people of that caliber or people who maybe are not as well-known but have the same kind of integrity, I'd love to participate in something. If it's running around with a camera on night shot, you know, with a bunch of teenagers, not as interested.
Not as interested, no. You know, I actually, I think it was one show I just watched just recently, and I was like, I think they're just totally crazy. That's what I thought, but I had to give them credit for being that brave. That's all I had, you know.
Right.
And
the thing is that, you know, I'm not saying that ghost hunting is a bad thing.
No.
I think that there's merit to it if there's a place that's exhibited phenomena, but let's not mock it either and make it.
It was kind of funny though. It's kind of funny that you're in a place that's haunted. It's known to be haunted. There's been descriptions of paranormal activity prior to this. Why are you so surprised when you get the knocks on the wall or the EVPs or? I mean, why does that scare you? You are a ghost hunter. This is what your job is. You know, if I got scared every time I pulled up the numbers on somebody's chart, that would be bad, you know. So sometimes I laugh at it. But then again, if I was in that position, I know I'd be running the other way.
Yeah, because it would be – I've not personally come up against any kind of entities that I'm aware of, hauntings. But I know it would frighten me. I'm pretty sure of that, even though I've done, you know – we're pushing 100 shows if you combine the two shows together, and it still would scare me. And by the way, I need to say all of those shows are free and totally available to your audience to listen to at jimherold.com.
Sure. Sure. And we're not territorial here at BBS. We don't mind at all, you know, pointing out that there's a really cool show that's on, and you know, and pointing out what you do and what your work, because you know, it's not just your show, it's not just promoting your show, but it's promoting your work as well. That as you've said several times, you know, the reason is to put the information out there and put the experts on, let them put, you know, say what they have to say about what they do, and leave it up to the listener to make up their mind, you know, as to what they believe. But it's just keeping that information highway, you know, open and
right,
putting stuff
exactly.
out there, which is that's a commendable thing to do, no matter where it's done, whether it's BBS or, you know, what you do. We have just a fabulous host on BBS. And some extraordinary shows every single day as well. I'm always in awe of the topics, the subjects, the people that are talking here, and I feel like, you know, I don't know about you, but pretty blessed to be able to do what I do. So.
Oh, yeah, I think we're living in a unique age, and both of us have a great opportunity. I'll tell you, I've become recently a great fan of streaming internet radio. For Christmas, I got my annual gadget, and it was one of these standalone internet radios, and aside from listening to your own computer, what a great device. I mean, a little bit of my geek coming out, but...
technology. Oh,
I love internet radio, and I think it's one of the greatest things, and I think it's great that there's a network dedicated, you know, to alternate subject matter, so folks can get that, because before, let's face it, you had, you know, when I grew up, we had... I think we had 5 channels of television, and you had your local radio station and your newspaper and magazines, and that was basically it. And now you have a total world of information. So I applaud what you do, and same as you said, I'm very glad to let people know about your show, because I think it's great. I mean, as it is, we do a couple of hours a week, and I'm sure that people that listen to this show and listen to my show listen to a couple more than 2 hours of audio content
right.
a week.
Exactly.
So there's plenty of time for us to listen to everybody.
Well, I have one final question for you, Jim.
Sure.
Has your experience doing paranormal podcasts and Jim Harrell's Campfire, has that changed you as a person in any way?
I think, well, here's the funny thing. And I'll tell this as a story. When I was a kid, I used to love the show In Search Of. And which was with Leonard Nimoy, and they would do a different topic every week. And I would always get frustrated because I would say, they never have the answers. You know, this is a half-hour show, they never have the answers. And the funny thing is when I started to do this, I thought, well, maybe I'll find some answers. I'll tell you, I have more questions now than I have answers. I have more questions than I ever had.
Right.
I'm fascinated more with it, and the more people I talk to, the more fascinated I am, and the more questions I have. So I think we'll be asking those questions for a good long time.
Well, yeah, I think I agree. I think the more I do this, the more questions I have, and there's more to learn, and it's a never-ending thing. But you know what, Jim? I'm going to just give out your website one more time, and then I'm going to let you go, and I just got a little bit of business to take care of before I close the show. So... first off, thanks for coming, and I truly enjoyed our conversation and you hanging out with me on my show. I want to remind all of my listeners to please go to www.jimherold.com, and you can get that website right on the show info tab on Visible by Numbers. There's a whole write-up of it right there with all the contact information, the correct spelling, and check it out, because I know that y'all would truly, truly enjoy Jim's shows. And, Jim, thanks so much for coming on my show. I really enjoyed you.
Yeah, and just a quick note to you, thank you so, so much for asking, and it was a pleasure to talk to you and meet your audience. I hope we get to connect again with both you and your audience over at jimherold.com. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Jim.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night. All right, and everybody, I just wanted to just go really, really quick. You know, the June forecasts are up on visiblebynumbers.com, so if you want to see what your numerology holds for the month of June, make sure you make a quick visit there. And if you don't know how to figure it out, you know, there's even the instructions there on how to figure out what your monthly forecast number is. So that's on visiblebynumbers.com. Also remind everybody to sign up for the newsletter while you're there, because, you know, if you want those forecasts coming in on a monthly basis to your email, along with some information about my guests that come on my show, numerology tips, you know, the newsletter is free and you can't beat that for a price. So while you're at Visible by Numbers, feel free to sign up for the newsletter. Also, you know, check out the show info tab by Visible by Numbers. There's a lot of great websites there. Some of my friends, you know, that I support, check out their websites. And finally, you know, I don't know if anyone has visited gethisnumber.com, but it's a wonderful website, a lot of fun, especially if you're doing some internet dating or you've met someone and you want to learn a little bit more about them. The website is gethisnumber.com. It'll give you some numerology information about the man in your life. And it's just a terrific website, so I really encourage you to go visit it. Thank you, everybody, for joining me this evening. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed Jim. And like I said, check out Paranormal Podcast at jimherald.com. Y'all have a great night, and I'll talk to you again next week. Lisa Williams is going to be on the show, so it'll be a really great show next week. So I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.